Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So, could you picture the story? Could you see Jesus? And picture this, the temple is set up, there's the sanctuary, the inner sanctum, and then there's the outside, kind of the other parts around it. And the outside is filled with cattle and sheep and doves and tables set up of people selling things. Because if you remember, in order for people to go into worship, they had to offer money. That's one of the reasons Martin Luther and we had the Reformation, but they had to offer money to get in and sacrifices. So picture that in your head. And so we see Jesus. He's walking and he enters into the temple and he finds what you would expect in this time of Passover. There's a festival going on. There's vital trades that are taking place. There's money and animals for those required sacrifices to go in to the temple. And in the temple, the sanctuary, the inner part, there were sections out of where people could sit. So the Jews were towards the front, and the women were in another part, and the foreigners were in another part, and there were separate sections for all of the people to sit in. And the parts where the money changers were happening, where the selling of the goods was happening, was closest to the foreigners, and it was loud. And so we see this story playing out from the Gospel of John in real time. We see it as Jesus is seeing it and entering into it. And so then we see Jesus' anger take over. Because, you know, Jesus was human. So we see Jesus' anger taking over. And he orders his Father's house not to be a marketplace. But really, for the temple system, in order to survive, we needed those, or they needed those transactions. They were essential, even. In order for the temple to function as a place of exchange for maintaining and supporting the sacrificial structures, things needed to be set up that way. And really, Jesus isn't quibbling about the mismanagement of funds or anything like that. He's calling in his righteous anger. He's calling for a complete dismantling of the system of which they were accustomed. So really, what he's saying when he chases the cattle and the sheep out, when he overturns the tables, underneath all of that is the critique that lies with the temple itself, that those things are not necessary to get to God. Well, so now the authorities who are there are saying, well, what proof do you have? What signs do you have? You can't just do this. And Jesus responds, invitation. Drawing us in, helping us to see. And you know, we read this text, and the folks from the time of John read this text knowing about the resurrection. So there is a foreshadowing in this text about what is to come in the resurrection. So if the temple symbolizes the location, the presence of God, of which that's what the thought was, Jesus is now saying, nope, that's not true. I'm the presence of God. Because if you remember, these Gospels are a confession of faith from the first century. And we are looking in on it, knowing all the story that comes with it. It's not history. It's not the depiction of history of the 21st century. It's the first century, and we are looking in and reading in on it. So we know that Jesus is talking about his body as being the temple of God. So we have a little bit of edge to understand better. You see, Jesus drives out the animals, the cattle, the oxen, and he overturns all those tables, and he demands that the buying and the selling stop. But did you ever hear him tell the people to leave? He is really announcing to those folks that are gathered and to us. He's announcing the end of the way things have always been and offering God to all people. God is now available to everyone. God, that's a huge difference to what was happening in those days. In order for them to see God, they had to give this money, buy these things, and then go into God. And things were all separated out. But God is now available to everyone. So what's our understanding of what we need to learn from this text? So what are our cows? What are our sheep? What are our tables that we need to overturn? Here at Grace, what are our cows? What are our sheep? What are our tables that we need to overturn so that we remember and see that God is available for everyone? Some thoughts on that. The church is not just a destination. Yes, I'm so glad you're here, and we need to be here to fellowship and be together. We need to come in and be filled with God, with the stories, with the hope, with the learnings. We need to experience God, but it doesn't end there. We need to now go out into the world and share those learnings with others. So maybe this is a wonder, a thought. Maybe what it is this is a place we are sent from in order to meet and partner with God in our everyday life. It doesn't stop here. We're sent out to be God's. We come to church. We hear the proclamation of the gospel. We share the sacraments, which we will in a little bit. We have community, we have fellowship, we have learnings, we have teachings. But then, as the song we just sang about moving out into our neighborhoods, maybe, just maybe, now we're sent out to look for God in the world, to share God in the world, to be God's partners in the world. So our four walls are nice, but it doesn't stop here. And that's what Jesus was trying to say with taking out the cattle and the sheep and overturning those tables. He was trying to help the folks of the first century and help all of us see that we're being sent out by God to live the gospel of Jesus Christ. So my question, my challenge, how are you? Because every one of us is different. How are you being sent out to partner with God in our ordinary lives, in ordinary places, in the world in which we live? Ponder on that a while and then live into it. Thanks be to God. Amen.